listening to the Staying Gang podcast. Trey Reed, along with Midwestern State head coach Bill Maskell, as we recap the win over Texas A&M Commerce, and we'll take a look ahead at the game at nationally ranked Angelo State, as the Rams coming in ranked 17th in the country at 2-0, and looking at both teams, I'll get more into Angelo State later on, but looking at the Rams last week, this is kind of one of the more interesting games in NCAA Division II, because you have a team in Midwestern State that's coming off of a win where they were down 23 points, and Angelo State with a win coming at Chadron State where they were down 24 points. I can't imagine any other game in the country this week where you have that kind of a setup, Coach.
Yeah, it's kind of tells you what kind of football team they are. And down 24, had two block punts. And then to come back and win 28-24, it's a big win for those guys.
Let's get into last week, Midwestern State and Texas A&M Commerce. It's a game that really defensively kind of mirrored your first week win over Quincy, where A&M Commerce able to drive the ball and get ahead in the first half, led 23-0 5 minutes into the second quarter. But then your defense turned it on. You gave up a score early in the second half and then held the Lions to 33 yards over the last 25 minutes of the game. This seems to be like the first two games where you're able to find a way to stop the other offense.
Well, in the second half.
In the second half, yes.
We got jump-started there a little bit in the first half when Dylan Davis intercepted the pass and took it in for a score 2 weeks in a row. That's pretty much unheard of. It's pretty much unheard of to have two pick sixes in a season, but and by the same guy. And then we got the field goal the next series, so that kind of got us back in the game because we were out of it. I mean, 23-0, and they had their way on both offense and defense, and we, found a way to get in the end zone with a score by Dylan, and then we kicked the field goal, and that was a positive thing. And we went in at half down 10 points, I think.
23-10 when you're in.
I felt at that point it was just two scores away, and that's not hard to get that. I mean, it's not easy, but it's not impossible, if you will. And so we went in at half and kind of regrouped and thought we had our act together. And then all of a sudden we give up a score the first series. And the good part about that is there's good and bad. But the good part is we found a way to overcome, and that was the only score they got second half. We ourselves had three drives that were – really significant, and we were fortunate on some of those. I think in that we completed a few passes on fourth down, and four of them actually, that helped us, move ahead. But I think there's a thing called momentum, and once you get that momentum in any sport, whether it's baseball or the home run or strikeout, basketball on a run, football, you just get rolling, and it's hard to stop that momentum. And they do a hell of a job of kicking the ball down to the 1 yard line. I think that was our second drive. First drive, I think we went 60 yards, maybe.
Right, 12 plays, 60 yards, and used 5.5 minutes.
Yeah, I don't think we didn't design to hold on to the ball. Our design was to get yardage and points in any way we could. And 12 plays, 60 yards, and we just, held on to the ball for a number of minutes there and put the ball in the end zone, and then the defense was able to stop them. And then all of a sudden the offense gets the ball back, and now that was when they stopped them, I think they might have had a penalty that backed them up, and then they their quarterback quick kicked it and got it down to the one. So percentages are like 1% that you're going to score from the 1 yard line. And we probably fell into that category several times because we had to convert fourth downs to score. But I think when we went on that drive, this is just an opinion. I don't know that it's a fact, but I think that we had some big plays in there. We had some fourth down connections. We had some small runs and 16 plays, 99 yards. That's an awful long time to be on the field. And I think that we were probably a little bit stronger than they were at that point. And then the next thing I think is that once we did score and now we're down by six, I think that got the crowd going. I think it got our team, hey, this really can happen. Not that we never doubted that we couldn't do it, but, you know, sometimes when you're down 23-0 or 24-0, reality is, you know, it's a long ways away. And our kids kept battling and fighting and scratching and just doing everything. The effort was really, really good. I mean, I think our two DNs wore down their tackles. And we only got a couple sacks, but we just kept playing so aggressively and so hard. Those tackles were much bigger than we were, and I told our DNs at halftime, just keep scratching, just keep fighting, stay low, and use your hands and get off from those guys. And I think they just, you know, their tackles and offensive line was tired at the end of the game. Now, we were a little bit fresher in second half defensively because we didn't have that many plays.
We weren't on the field.
On the field. Where in the first half, we were on the field all the time, and the offense was like three and out. So it just kind of reversed itself in the second half. And then, of course, the last – and I think part of that 99-yard drive was that's the one where Harrison caught the ball. You know, their kid bumped it through, it tossed it in the air, and then we catch it in the end zone, and, you know, that's a little bit of luck. And then the next one, when we go 49 yards and 13 plays or whatever it is, you know, we convert a couple fourth downs in there, and then Sam Hodges only played three plays offensive whole game and stepped in. We didn't have somebody on the punt team, and he jumped in for a position he's never played and just didn't know what he was doing, but he knew he had to be on the line. And so we played four plays the whole game, and one of them was the game-winning touchdown. So I think things just fell into place as the momentum took over, and it was a pretty good game. I bet it was a real fun game to watch as spectators, and our kids were into it the whole time. When I watched the tape Sunday when – I think probably when we scored one of the touchdowns and maybe the first touchdown in the second half, that Kylan Harrison ran all the way down to the 20 and stopped because you can't go any further than that, you know. And we've, you know, kind of get excited and our guys want to run in the end zone, and we really harped on, you got to stay back. But you could see him right there. He went to the 20 and stopped, and it was almost like there was a wall right there in front of him. But that was kind of the quick synopsis of the game. Defense played well in the second half. Offense got better in the second half. You know, we didn't play particularly well, I didn't think, offensively in the first half. And then we had that turnover interception right before half, which is not a good thing. And I didn't think our players panicked. I think we were frustrated a little bit in that stall, if you will, in the first half. But I think we regrouped well enough at half to make the difference.
And you talk about being down 23 points and coming back. And, in fact, no team in Midwestern State history had overcome being down by 23. In fact, not even close, which I found interesting when doing the research, because – in my mind, the last few years, there's been quite a few comeback wins by Midwestern State teams. and then you look up and you see like Angelo State down 24 and winning two. So there must have been something in the air on Saturday night.
I a lot of times when we're in that position, I tell them not to look at the scoreboard, just play the next play. We've kind of talked all fall and all summer and all spring about going forward, and let's go forward and not look backward, because there's nothing you can do about what's behind you. Let's go forward, and I think that our the mentality of what we did on Saturday night, as well as Angelo, have to be in that same category, is that they just kept playing. And by continuing to play, they made plays, and we made plays, and put us in position at the end of the game to win. And Commerce is a good football team. You know, they're missing their star quarterback, but they've got solid across the board on both sides of the ball. I mean, they're a very, very good football team, and they're going to win a lot of games. But you know, if their quarterback ever comes back, they're going to be a much, much, much stronger offensive team than they are right now. And you know, you feel for those guys, because they've got an offensive line that's really good. They got two really good running backs, got tall receivers, and their defense is outstanding. You know, they just they'd be very, very good defense, and that's obvious. We didn't. Would we get 280 or something like that? 280 yards total offense.
With most of that coming in the second half, you look at the 99-yard drive, and you had a 49-yard drive and 60. So you have 109 yards plus about another 100 more. So 208 of those yards coming in the second half.
Yeah. Well, that's we only had the ball three times in the second half, and we were fortunate to score all three times, which was critical. And I can't tell you we told them we had to score every time. I just think that we just told them to keep playing, and we're going to be okay. You know, just keep playing and play. I think I made a comment at half that, you know, if what you think you're doing, you can do more. You can do better than what you think you're doing. And so let's go out and do better. And I don't know if that resonated with him or not, but whatever happened in the second half, we got better, and the momentum swung, and we were very fortunate to win the football game.
And when you're down 23-0, I know there's got to be a temptation to throw the ball every down because you feel like you need to come back. But it felt like it was a key thing in this game in particular. One, it helped that you had the 70-yard interception return to get started. But really being able to run the ball really paid dividends for you in the long run.
Well, I think I think that you have to be able to run the ball. I mean, I've always felt that way. Now, we'll do whatever it takes to win. But once you become one-dimensional, people are going to play one-dimensional. And then you've taken away the element of run or pass. So I think that not that we had any, you know, I don't know what our longest run was, but it wasn't too terribly long, 16 yards maybe.
I believe that's right.
Yeah. So it wasn't like we were just knocking people out. Would we rush for 120 or something like that? Is that, if I remember right?
Rush for 120 right on the nose.
Yeah. And, you know, those are hard-earned dollars right there. I mean, you know, but I think your point is that we kept them honest enough by attempting to run the ball, and sometimes we didn't run it very well, but we didn't give up on the run. Might have given up on a play or two that we didn't continue to run, but we didn't give up on the ability to call the run and be productive with it.
And when you talk about that final drive, you talk about the fourth down conversions. Let's go through each of them. You had a fourth and nine at the Commerce 34, and that was the 21-yard post route to Anthony Tennyson. Caught it in traffic. Great catch. And then had to leave the game.
Yeah, Tennyson made 2 fourth down catches. I don't know if one was in the third quarter, or because we scored what 7 in the third quarter and 14 was it
in the fourth quarter.
I can't answer all those questions. I just know that our quarterback played better. We even when we had that 99-yard drive, I think there was a penalty or two that we had to overcome. I know I've got my drive chart around here somewhere. I could look at that. Didn't tell you exactly, but I think we had to overcome a penalty in one of those drives.
And they had an ineligible downfield on that 99-yard drive. Yeah. Yes.
So, you know, I think our team recognizes that that we can't have foolish penalties, and I think they realize we've got to play smarter. We had another block in the back on a special teams, and that, you know, that a week ago that put us. We got the ball out to the. I think we ended up moving backwards to the 4 or 5 yard line, and we could have been on the 28 yard line. And based on where the penalty was, we backed up. It might have been 5 or 10 or whatever, but it hurt. And you know, I think sometimes as long as kids are playing hard and aggressive, you might have some of those. But I'm hopeful as the season goes along that we're going to become a smarter football team and not get that foolish penalty. I'll tell you when it was. It wasn't that. Okay, so I thought we could have had a personal foul on our field goal or our winning PAT, but we didn't. But then we came back and got a personal foul on the kickoff.
Right.
And so that they got out to the 28. Instead of being on the 28, they went to the 43. And had we had that personal foul on the PAT team, that had given them another 15 yards. So they'd have gone to the, they'd have gone to the 50, and then from there, that's another 8 yards. They'd have gone down to the 42-yard line, and there's 25 seconds left. I mean, now all they got to do is get in field goal position. And so I think I'm hopeful that our team recognizes the fact that we can't have foolish penalties, particularly personal fouls. And so now we're going forward.
So you made a big decision last week to make a move in your kicking game, brought on a freshman, Reitzy Vase, and he comes through and with a 42-yard field goal there in the second quarter to bring you to 23-10, and he earned Special Teams Player of the Week for that. Perfect 4-for-4 on PATs.
Yeah, he's been fundamentally he's very good. He's just a freshman, but fundamentally he's pretty solid with what he does. And when we recruited him, I said, Reitzy, how'd you learn how to kick the ball? He says, on the internet. I said, you're kidding me. And he said, no, I googled it and I watched the kickers and that's how I learned. And so I sent him down to Dallas to a kicking coach down there, and he got a lesson with him. And the kicking coach called me right after the lesson. He says, you got a gem there. He said, the kid's got a strong leg. He's a willing learner. And so he's done nothing but get better since he's been here. He's got a real strong leg. But because of his consistency and his fundamentals, and the week before we missed a field goal, a 40-yard field goal, and we missed an extra point, and we just felt like it. He had a better week than the other kicker. It was a tough decision to go with Reitzy, but it looked like it turned out to be a pretty good one.
And your punter, Fernando Piedra, who's stepped in for Dylan Spears, was kicking off as well. Hey, how pleased have you been with his output?
I think very well. He's learned how to be a punter. We ask all those guys to they got a lot of free time. you know, they can't kick the whole time. So we go through a stretching routine with them, and they go through a couple games they play. And but in the meantime, they're catching the ball and they're punting. And so his leg is really, really strong. And I thought Jake Rowland, it was last spring when we had a kickoff. Kickoff. We were trying to determine who had the best hang time and who had the best distance. And I think they did it three times, and Jake had the best of two. And Fernando had one. And they both hang times were in the 3/8 to 4. And so it was hard to make that decision. But when we made the decision to punt him instead of Dylan, that he gets it off really quick. I mean, he's a two-stepper, in some cases a one-stepper. And I know last week we were doing a couple things in practice, and he was trying to get his steps, and we were having some issues, and it was punting the ball horrible. So we brought him in here, looked at the tape, and I said, well, here's the reason why. I said, can you not see what your hips are doing? He said, yeah, I see it now. So he went out last Thursday, or maybe it was Wednesday, and he just boomed the ball. So based on what he did in practice, we expected him to do what he did. Same thing with Reedsy.
And you had Defensive Player of the Week, obviously, with Dylan Davis. Not only did he have the interception return, but he forced the fumble that led to the field goal. And
he made a critical tackle on the kickoff. You know, Dylan Davis is one of those guys that doesn't look pretty with what he's doing. He just does a good job with every time he's there.
And another point with Dylan, and I didn't realize this until I was cutting the game up afterwards, but obviously your regular holder, Anthony Tennyson, and then Jamarzy Harvey, had a deal where he couldn't go hold. So for the final PAT, you had Dylan Davis.
And Dylan has just learned how to be a holder this year. You know, we had Tennyson, Harvey, and then Dylan, so we didn't even think about those things. You know, we do it in practice and just go and let's be good at what we do.
And you talk about the interception returns for scores. The career record is two for Midwestern State. Now he's tied that in two really games in his first full season. What's interesting about Dylan was that he'd returned four for scores his senior year of high school when he had 16 interceptions. Yeah. He goes out and gets it done, 16 interceptions, and he was as a senior as well, and he's the Class 5A Defensive Player of the Year. So he's done things, and now has he surprised you any with his?
No, I think he's one of those guys that doesn't look pretty doing what he does. He just does it and does a good job of it, and he takes coaching very well, and he wants to do exactly what you're coaching him to do, and because of that, it's made him a better player. He just needs to, we knew that he was going to be. In high school, he just played a lot of zone and went after the ball, and he did. And he does the same thing here. He's just one of those guys that's got some instincts, not afraid to take a chance. I don't say gamble. I say take a chance. You know, I think you got to have some confidence and courage to take that chance, a calculated one. And there's been a lot of people and some on our team that have taken that chance and ball's gone the other way instead of us picking it off. And so when that happens, then you can become a little tentative. Well, he's, you know, even the first one, he, you know, stumbled and bumbled, and this one he kind of ran away from people. So he's surprisingly quick and fast. He's grown up a little bit since we recruited him. I don't, he's probably 6 foot, half inch, 180 pounds. And I don't think when we got him, he was 5'11", but 165 maybe. So the weight room has been good to him.
And when you look at him, those two interceptions, in the defensive backfield, you have two interceptions for both games to go along with the pass rush. I know you've probably given up more passing yards than you'd like, but when you look at these how your defense is able to figure out how to slow teams down in the second half. Is this something that maybe you're excites you moving on, that they had the ability to put it all together, that maybe that'll move up to closer to the first quarter or the first drive?
Well, we're hoping that as we go forward and we get a little more experience and some of those young kids or new kids to the program learn this is what you've got to do. And you know, right now we just don't have a lot of experience back there, and it's showing. You know, we've given up, I don't know how many, 7 touchdown passes in 2 ball games, and a lot of bombs. You know, they had 5 big runs or passes, and 4 of them led to scores. You know, and they didn't necessarily score on a 65-yard run or 65-yard pass or 52-yard run or whatever it was, but it got them down in position to score. So in order for us to become better on defense, we have to be better in defending the pass. And that starts with us as coaches, and then it just permeates on down to the players, and they know they've got to get better, and they're willing and they're working, and we just got to keep working with them and get them to understand that this is where you need to be, and when you're there, this is what you need to see and what you need to do.
So it's great to get the win over the number 7 team in the country in your second game of the season. But how does it, you always want to build and get those wins during the year, obviously, but does that present a challenge now to maybe you not necessarily have arrived this early in the year, that there's still work to do?
We haven't arrived. We're not even close to arriving. And I think our team, if they don't know it, they should know it. I mean, we've played 2 games. In 2 games, we've been behind in both games. And we've had to come from behind to win, and this one we had to come down to the last 25 seconds to get ahead. So, you know, we know we have to improve. We know we have to work to improve, and we have to be able to continue to work together with offense, defense, and special teams to be able to be successful. You know, our punting average was, I think, around 42, and our goal going into that game was to keep number 20 Ramsey, who's damn good, to keep him away from the ball and not be able to return it, and he returned 1 for 2 yards. So we're even with them. They didn't break away. And the last time we played them, Ramsey had a big long kickoff return over at Commerce, and he had a couple punt returns, and this game he did not. I think that you know, he's usually good for, you know, 15, 20-yard run on kickoff return and on punt return. He didn't get that. And so I think that helped us keep, when we did kick off, that you know, they're down inside the 25-yard line, and now they got to go 75 yards to score, which they did, you know, in the first half, and really in that first drive in the second half. But I think we got to build on what we did in the second half, and you know, if it takes us to come from behind next week, this weekend, then I'm all for it. But you know, you'd prefer as a coach that not have to get down 23 or 24 points
to get going,
and then to jumpstart, because you may not have enough time left the next game.
So looking ahead to this week, Angelo State, they come in ranked 17 in the AFCA poll, coming off of 2 big road wins. They beat what was a good Lindenwood team 2 years ago. Mustangs went up and defeated them in a close game in 2019, and they ended up making the playoffs. But Angelo State goes up to St. Charles and wins 40-20 in week 1, and then came back, as we had stated earlier in the show, against Chadron State 28-24, using 2 block punts to come back from 24 points of their own. What kind of team are we looking at with Angelo State?
Well, I think you're looking at an offense that's similar to ours. I think they're bigger in the line than we are. I think they're big and physical in the offensive line. They got one starter back from last year. I say last year, 2019. But they're really big, and so they've got a couple running backs that are bigger, and they just want to come off the ball and get in your way and let the back, you know, go where he sees daylight. And they've got a couple big tight ends that allow them to play with, two tight ends. And their quarterback has got a nice touch on the ball, and he's very accurate. I think he's doing a real nice job.
And you look at the running backs, Nathaniel Omeyebu, the third, he's a sophomore. You talk about a bigger back. He's 5'11", 240 pounds. He rushed for 94 yards last week on 18 attempts. And their number two guy on the depth chart, Carl Odom, a junior, is a 6'1", 230, another bigger guy. He rushed for 70 yards on 13 carries. So they had 239 yards on the ground last week against Chadron State. So obviously they got down and stuck with the running game themselves.
Yeah, they were backed up a couple times, and you get two punts blocked, and you kind of get a little gun shy, and so they were able to. I think I finished watching that tape against Chadron yesterday. They were able to control the ball a little bit and get a score that helped them jumpstart to keep going, much like what we did in the second half.
Then you look at in the second half, they had big pass plays, two TD receptions by Kellen Panchot. And then Panchot is, as I'm quickly trying to look here, he's a 5'11", 155-pound, more of a scat receiver, I'm guessing. But he had a 53-yard touchdown, a reception, and then another 43, both in the second half.
Which
to,
guy is
to
this?
Put them ahead. This is, he wears number 11 for them.
11.
He's a 5'11 senior, weighs 155 pounds.
He's a real fast kid, I think, from California. Is that right?
I believe so.
He's got really good speed.
So he went four catches, 101 yards. So they put up 439 yards. What really slowed down Angelo State in the first half, they didn't get the ball in the end zone on drives, but they had three field goal attempts blocked, one from 15 yards, one from 30, and one from 42. So they had some special teams troubles of their own.
Yeah. Well, our special teams I'm pleased with where we're at. Our kickoff team was good. Our punt team was good. Our punt return team was good. Through two games, we had that block in the back on the kickoff return this last week, and the week before we had the block in the back on the punt return on Juwan Mason's long run. But I think we're getting better in those areas, and our kickoff return team is we averaged 22 or 24 yards a return, which is not bad, but there wasn't a whole lot of blocking going on. So our kids have got to do a better job of blocking because those receivers or running backs or DBs, the ones we've got back there, they're running really hard. And if we can just get a matchup, a body on a body, then, I think we've got a chance to be better in that area as well.
And you look at the Angelo State defense, they have seven seniors starting. Ja'Kari McCoy is really the headliner there, the defensive end, 6 foot, 310 pounds. I guess he plays defensive line, but
what
I know
number?
He was highly heralded. That would be number 55.
55.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a big dude. He's a big dude. They got some big dudes up front. And then the size of who they are and the speed of who they are, is comparable to Commerce. But what they do schematically, and they move, from an odd front to an even front. They move to a covering both guards in the center. We call that the bear look. And then they bring people from all over the, their fast break and pressing all day long on this team right here. They're all over the place, and uh, it it's when you don't know where they're going to be and then they move at the last second, they create some issues. And they've done it. A tackle moved out, linebacker moved in, and their guard tackle and tight end just flowed outside, and that kid just came underneath everything and hit the back right in the mouth about the same time he got the ball. So their defense is going to cause some havoc. And we've got to stay on track with the downs and not give up where we're facing second and 16 because of a sack or because of a run where we didn't block somebody. And anxious to look at the tape from today to see how we execute what we think we're going to do Saturday. And they've caused, this was our Waterloo last year in 2019, if you will. We lost Zach Purcell, and then we played a couple more quarterbacks, and we just didn't have it. Again, a lot has to do with scheme, and then they've got good players to match that scheme. So they're doing a really good job on both sides of the ball.
So is this different than anything you'll see this year as far as schematically with that mix of talent?
You know, I don't know what everybody else does. I mean, you know, look at just going forward, looking at Western New Mexico, they got a new coach. We're playing Central Washington. We've never played them, so we don't know what they've done. Permian Basin, West Texas, Eastern New Mexico, what I say, had a new coach. I mean, so when you bring in a new coach, if you don't study what they did, where they came from, and a lot of times you can't get film from those guys, so you have to wait till they get film. I can't say, really, we're looking to Saturday.
Right.
And that's our focus, is looking to Saturday. Let's go forward. We'll figure out the following week, the next week.
Is that kind of scheme where you're doing all kinds of different things, is that hard to replicate and rep throughout the week when you prepare?
Yeah. Probably we've got coaches putting those guys in position and moving, and so that's in the middle of the play. You know, the quarterback wants to get thing going, but the defense isn't where they're supposed to be, and they didn't get to where they're supposed to be, and so it probably slowed down practice a little bit. But I think at the end of the day, we still got the number of reps that we anticipated getting today.
And looking forward to this game. It's another, I know, as you like to say, it's a big game because it's next. Mm. But one last thing, kind of not football related, but being September 15th, it's been on my mind today, and I just wanted to share this with you as well. But historically, we've had a long running beat writer here until about 3 years ago, mm-hmm. and J. Scott Russell, and you know he passed last February. And this would have been his birthday, and
just thinking about that.
But you know, he's been a lot to the program. He's been one of your biggest fans, Coach.
Yeah, we missed Jake Scott. I hated to see him leave town when he did, and he and my wife were best friends, and he was over the house often, and he was at practice every day. You know, that was pretty special to have somebody come to practice and just be there. You know, and he'd come out to practice. I don't think he missed a practice.
Not very often. No.
He was there on Monday nights for a little bit just to get a preview, and then he was there on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and then you saw him afterwards on Saturday night. So Jay was a very talented writer, and we miss him.
Definitely, I know a friend that I've knew for a long time and grew in the writing and in the business before I got over here, and he's always had a place in my heart, and it's hard for me because he's someone who I called probably every other week.
Yeah.
So I still have that urge. I don't really need to call Jay Scott, but yeah. But
that's, yeah, Jay was pretty sharp with what he did.
Well, Coach, I wish you the best of luck this week, and what a win last week. I know I got to see you quite a bit on – on the scooter, and I know you're pretty excited after the game as well.
Yeah, that scooter's got a lot of publicity, some good and some not so good. But we're looking forward to playing another game, and that's, you know, we should look forward. That's what you play. You practice to play the game, so you better get excited about playing the game. And you know, if we can stay with them, you know, it ought to be a good game. You know, they got to stay with us, and we've got to stay with them, and let's see who can come out on top.
It's Midwestern State taking on number 17 Angelo State. That game kicks off at 6 p.m. in San Angelo. It'll be at LeGrand Stadium. You can listen to the game live here on the LSC Digital Network. It'll be video streamed live through the Angelo State portal, and then of course you can hear Pete Stein right here on the LSE Digital Network. Once again, the pregame show starts at 5:45, kickoff at 6 p.m. Thank you for joining us tonight for the Staying Gang podcast featuring Bill Maskell. We'll be right at it again next Wednesday. Have a good night.